As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, so guess what, Victoria? 1 week from, first of all, I'm not annoyed when I call you Victoria, so let's try it again. Guess what, Vic? 1 week from today, we will know something officially. Do you know what that is?
We're going to know who exactly is playing who in the NHL postseason.
Thank goodness. You see, this is why they tune in. You're on the ball. There's still some spots left to be filled, obviously. Some matchups are set.
Yes.
But yeah, this is Friday, the 11th of April. So again, next Friday, it's the day off between the end of the regular season, the day before, and then the beginning of the postseason on the Saturday. So down the stretch we go, if you will. Welcome to Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Coming up later on, we have scraped the barrel of the bottle, Vic, for this one. Dave Panyota, I'm going to joke with him too. That was a bit of a tease of how I'm going to intro him. But Dave Panyota, editor-in-chief, fourthperiod.com. Plus, you and I know him, good friends with him. We do shows with him. Mine on the weekend,
he's,
certainly.
Yeah, he's a good pal.
He's fantastic.
He's also an incredible insider, so it's win-win for us. We're going to get some great insight, but it's also going to be nice to hang out with him too. So,
and we'll go 77 seconds in with Dave, and we'll have some real fun with this. We do have fun on that segment with everybody, but we'll have extra fun with this. And Dave, I can just imagine some of the responses already.
I hope he doesn't just slam his computer shut.
Oh, he won't. No, he won't. Trust me, he won't. Well, he may fall asleep. Stay tuned for what that
is.
We'll go east in a bit. We'll talk Montreal, Patrick Waugh, and the New York Islanders. We'll get into that.
Lots to say.
Yep. Is there, though?
Yes, there is. There's plenty to say.
Let's begin with the Winnipeg Jets. And you put down on the lineup here, yes, they are soaring, and they continue to just be absolutely fantastic. That was not that they've had to make any statement games, but
there's
I thought last night.
It was another one.
4-0 to Dallas, as if to say, okay, we're not going to face you in round one. You're not getting first spot in this division. It's ours. Forget it. We may see you in round two whenever it is, but just remember, we're a pretty good hockey team. I thought that was that to me was a statement for sure.
Dominant win.
Yeah.
They looked good doing it. Hellebuck was perfect again. Yep. Eighth shutout of the season.
Incredible.
Defensively, they were staunch. They're very stingy. The puck movement in that game was incredible. I watched it. Like, the passes are just, they're spot on. They're so crisp. The timing
precise.
Is perfect.
Yep.
Kyle Connor is scoring. Josh Morrissey looks fantastic. Mark Scheifele looks amazing. It's just, it's going to be interesting. The three of the last four games, Ryan, they beat the Vegas Golden Knights. What was it? 4-0, I believe. They killed the Blues win streak. They stopped that and beat them 3-1. And then, of course, last night dominated a Dallas Stars team that a lot of people have to win the Stanley Cup. And they're not picking the Jets. They're picking the Stars. They have the better odds with the odds makers as well. And big statement game, no question.
A couple of statistics with the Winnipeg Jets. They've been in first in the Western Conference every day since the 14th of January. They have, again, 54 wins. That's their single-season franchise record. They're 48-3-1 when they score at least three goals. So basically almost unbeatable. About this one? I didn't know this. Dallas, that was the first time they were shut out last night.
I didn't know that either.
First time they were shut out. The last time they lost 6-5, Dallas did, in overtime in Vancouver on Tuesday. But this was the first time they've been shut out. At all this campaign, but I'm with you with this. The Christmas, the attention, the detail. There is no weakness, no flaws in this team. There hasn't been injuries, whatever it is, everything certainly is lining up for these Winnipeg Jets. But let's not forget, not putting a damper on this, but only eight teams that have won the President's Trophy, they don't care about that. Who come first overall have gone on to win the Cup. But if they win the President's Trophy, which I think they will,
they're on track, yeah.
Who's to say they're not going to win that Cup?
Could have
we'll
done
see.
Without the Ehlers fight, to be perfectly honest. Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree.
Not because people accuse me of being anti-fighting all the time. I'm not anti-fighting at all. Right. I just think that you want to have the right characters engage in that. And Nikolai Ehlers is having a hell of a season.
He is.
And if he again, I'm all about the broken hand, man, because we've seen it happen in the NHL before. And Nikolai Ehlers breaking his hand right before the playoffs would not be bueno for the Winnipeg Jets. So I could have done without that. But congrats to them. And they continue to roll right into the postseason. I think we're going to see Hellebuyck rest a little bit more now. I would, if I was Scott Arneal.
I would too.
Because you don't want to risk anything. Why?
No.
And but they're definitely in the driver's seat. It's one more win and it's done.
Yeah. And he's not one of these goaltenders that needs time to kind of, when he does come back, to refocus and get back into the swing of things.
He will be fine.
He's so good. But I'm with you. Rest. You played so well. There's no real need going forward. Be ready to go for game one. Gabriel Landeskog. This is great. The guy's not played
so
in, what, 20 years?
It's been a while.
Yeah. So he's been the conditioning stint now, which is fantastic. Not just mentally for him and the Avalanche, but also the fact that he's on the ice now. I know that last year he was with the team during practice. He would go out and skate and just kind of be around the club in their postseason push, etc. But I just love this. And for Colorado, just having him actually making these strides, I think that's a great bonus for this.
It has been about 3 years. So, yeah. I mean, it has been actually a very long time. A lot of people suppose that Gabriel Landeskog, captain of the Colorado Avalanche, and remained so the entire time, would not return to competitive NHL hockey. So now he is on a conditioning stint with the Colorado Eagles. He's practiced with them. He felt good.
Yeah.
Eagles have a home game on Friday and Saturday. So we'll see if he draws into the lineup. And the Colorado Avalanche have been very, very clear. This is his call. The second that he says he's ready to go, he's in the lineup. There's no discussion anymore. The ball is completely in his court. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But I don't think there's anybody who watches the NHL who's not rooting for this guy to come back.
No.
The game's better with him. He's a good fella. That shouldn't matter, but it does to me a little bit. Good guy. It would be great after all this hard work. It would be great to see him back.
You know who he reminds me of? Even based on his play, his demeanor, I just thought about this right now. You may agree, may not. He reminds me a lot of Alexander Barkov. I don't really know why, but just kind of picturing the two and I'm going through physically how they are on the ice, etc., whatever
different
it is.
Different positions, but I can see what you're
But certainly what those mean, those players mean to their respective clubs is obviously
defensively responsible. Landeskog is like that as well with Barkov, so I can see that a little bit. But fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Avalanche and the Dallas Stars, right? Boy, oh boy, that's going to be something.
But one huge edge, and I want to point this out before we move on to the Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
The Avalanche are the only team that are done on Sunday.
Right.
They have the entire week off.
Yeah.
And Monday through Friday.
And what is the discussion point going to be? Say they lay an egg in game one. Oh, well, too much time off. You're out of the rhythm.
I'm taking the extra time. Nathan MacKinnon is probably going to sit out the rest of the season because he's banged up.
Yep.
Other players are banged up. I don't care about though. You're going to lose your momentum and you're going to be too rested. Horse manure. Make sure that you feel as good as you possibly can. And if you need more than a period to get back into it, that's on you.
That's fine.
This is the Avalanche. This is the Jared Bednar's team. They're going to be just fine. So anyway, moving on to the Oilers now. They look a little bit better with Connor McDavid in the lineup. Would you not say Ryan Payton?
Chicago would, San Jose would, Boston would.
Do you want me to keep going?
Yes, they do. And you and I have talked about this at length. Not just with each other, but I'm sure with other different people, they're only going to go as far as McDavid and Leon Draisaitl take them. And I'll be quite honest, I'm going to put a damper on this thing right now, and that's really not what
this
I do.
This is your second damper.
I know. I was asked this week, based on the Kings and Edmonton going to face each other in round one, is this going to be the Kings' year? And I unequivocally said, very quickly, that yes, it is.
I think so too.
I don't see there are two things. Edmonton's not as strong and as good as they were a season ago, and I'm putting the injuries aside. I just don't think they are. And then there's the injuries, of course, going forward.
Mm-hmm.
but I do think the LA Kings are a much better team this time around. And I know we're going to talk about the Jack Adams in a bit too later on in the next segment about Coach of the Year, Jim Hiller. Certainly, he may get one or two votes. He's not going to win it, but the job that he's done with the LA Kings has been fantastic. So I'm not a big... I don't believe in Edmonton this year, Vic. I really don't. And I would not be surprised.
I did earlier, not anymore. Okay. And I also thought that they were going to make a different move at the trade deadline than they did.
Yeah.
I don't think Jake Walman was the solution to the blue line there.
No.
So, and the issues in net, the issues overall defensively, the fact that they're a two horse show. Oh, they're, those are incredible horses they've got. Draisaitl and McDavid. But they're still only two people and they can still only play 22, 23 minutes a night each. So they can't play 60. So that's the issue. And the lack of depth scoring we've seen all season long. No, I don't think it goes very far. You and I are both going to make our picks very shortly for the NHL Network.
Yeah.
And in the first round, the Kings is definitely, that's on my bingo card right now.
One of the questions, too, and then we'll move on to the Calgary Flames. One of the questions is, what exactly is Edmonton? Who are they? What type of team? No, yet see your shape. We don't know.
Two skaters and the rest of them.
Exactly.
That's what they are.
So let me throw these numbers up at you. And if you want to talk about this being an up and down season, this has been an up and down season for Edmonton. In the first 20, they were 10-8-2. Then they had the best record in the league in their next 30. Mm-hmm. 22-7-1. And then for 6 weeks, they went 4-7-1. From the trade deadline to now, they're 9-6-1. So this is kind of like Buffalo-esque, even though they're nowhere near the talent Buffalo is as Edmonton, but it's this up and down thing. So when you go into the postseason, what team's going to show up in game one? What team's going to show up in that first round?
Very good question.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Healthy or not, nobody knows. And for you to have that going in, for everybody on that club to really not thinking, I don't know how we're going to play. I mean, if we played in like we do in the first couple of months of this stretch, then we'll be fine. But don't know that. Calgary, Edmonton's neighbor, Vic, are still alive. Do they, though? Do they have a chance?
5 points out of the Blues, who have lost now two straight after winning.
That team's done. Yeah, they're crumbling.
Okay, I don't know if they're done. 5 points out, but two games in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not in the driver's seat, but I would argue they have a fighting chance. Would you say they have a fighting chance?
I do. You know what? They're on the shoulder on the highway, and they're just itching to come back onto the main street. That's kind of the way I look at it with those extra games in hand. They have a fighting chance. But again, the key is going to come down to those 4 points that they have on the table that the Blues do not have and cannot have. They've got to get those 4 points. That's huge.
Remaining schedule for Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Big one tonight. They host the Wild, and you know the Wild are going to come out swinging in that.
That's one. That's huge. Yeah.
Then they host the Sharks. Okay, that should be just a guaranteed W at this point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have the Golden Knights and the Kings.
Yeah.
Now you're hoping that the Golden Knights and Kings are playing for nothing.
Yeah.
And resting some stars and just figuring something out, and maybe you still have a scrap and chance. I'm not ruling them out, especially now that the Blues have lost two. Because we talked about last show, they were still on their heater, and we said they're going to lose one. Well, how do they respond? And they just had lost one. How are they going to respond now? And they've lost two straight.
Yeah.
So if you lose two straight, you can lose another couple. And the Flames are still, that's the only team I really have in it that still has a fighting chance. But
they're not
eliminated, and they're still playing. They're still playing like they have a shot at this.
So. That is the only team that they have
left. We'll get
left
to the East in a bit.
Yeah, it's the only team that they have left. And if you look at the Blues as well, again, yeah, they've lost two in a row after that amazing run that they were on. Their remaining schedule, they have the Kraken coming up tomorrow, and then they have Utah. So, again, two very winnable games as well, right?
But also two pesky opponents.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I agree.
Playing loosey-goosey because they're out of it, right?
No, I agree. I agree with that.
Those ones.
You put down on the lineup here, and I love all whenever you put the lineup together, but I'll stop smiling. And I don't think I emailed you these words exactly when I said, let's talk about Minnesota. But anyway, you took it as Ryan hates the Wild. So let me just be clear. I don't hate the Wild.
So why do you disrespect the Wild?
What I think is that right now, I believe that they're going to take on Vegas if the season ended tonight, correct?
Okay.
Or ended today. That's why. I mean, I don't believe that they have the horses. And what I know, Eric Sinek, the other game, what, he had four goals or something?
Four
Hey, welcome back. You know what? I had him in my pool earlier on this season, and I dropped him. I totally forgot to pick him up again. Anyway, that would have been good, at least for one game. But something about it, and again, going up against Vegas, that's the concern I have. Vegas has been there before. Mm-hmm. They know what it takes to win. They're deep. They've been there, yada, yada, all that same song and dance we've seen forever. But I don't hate the Wild. Maybe I dislike their chances in round one, maybe more so than other people do.
So there's an element of disrespect there, and I know you don't like that word, but you don't think they have a shot.
Perhaps there is, yes, yes.
This is why I still like them, and I'm going to give them a fighting chance. Whether they line up against Winnipeg, and we just talked about Winnipeg being toast of the town, and now I'm going to do a 180 and say I think the Wild actually would have a fighting chance against them, or Vegas. And this is why. They've enjoyed success all season long without their two best players in the lineup consistently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Last game, both Eriksson Ek and Kirill Kaprizov come back. Kaprizov had 3 points.
Yeah.
Eriksson Ek had 4 goals. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a statement return?
Right.
Holy Henrietta. So if this team with one of the best goaltenders, and I really, really think Gustafsson should be a finalist for the Vezina. We know who's going to win it, but mm-hmm. one of the best, analytically speaking, one of the best goalies of this season, one of the best defensive teams, still managed to win the games. And
I
now
agree.
You have your two star centers back. Well, yep. sorry, one star center, one winger, mm-hmm. but still mm-hmm. I'm not ruling them out. That's all I'm saying. I don't hate the Wild.
Oh, shush. Wow. I'm going to write the lineup from now on. What big question now, and I think this has been asked for months already. You win the Pacific Division a year ago,
yeah,
and now you are not into the postseason. That is kind of like the Boston Bruins in the Eastern Conference. You go from here down to here, and it's amazing what happens in 1 year. The season for Vancouver has been a soap opera from the get-go. Pedersen thing, the JT Miller thing, everything else in between, the Thatcher Demko injury, it's just been a mess. I thought 2-3 months ago, boy, I wish for them they had finished the season already, played the 82nd game back in, I don't know, mid-February, because this is going nowhere. So now the question is, what do you do from here? Where do you go from here? What's this off-season going to look like?
I think it's going to be very interesting.
If I
had told you at the beginning of this season, Ryan, that 6 of the 7 Canadian teams would make it and only one wouldn't. I know Calgary isn't in it, but just...
I would not say Vancouver.
Nobody would say Vancouver. You would say Montreal or Calgary or Ottawa, but it wouldn't be Vancouver because they were thought to be a playoff, not a playoff lock, but definitely a considered team for that position.
More of a playoff lock than some of the other Canadian
than
teams.
Than Montreal,
probably.
That's for sure. Yeah. So Brock Besser has just come out and said he's not re-signed with Vancouver. And he made that very, very clear.
I wouldn't either. Yeah.
So he's going to test. He's all going to test the market. Okay, buddy, you can test whatever you want. You ain't going back to the Canucks. He does not want to be there.
No.
What you do with Elias Pettersson, to me, is the biggest question. This guy's value has never been lower than it is right now. So if you actually want to move him to another team, you're going to get the cheapest package back. Mm-hmm. I know people still understand he is who he is, but he's going to have to convince other organizations that he still has the mojo to give this a good go, because he looks listless out there. He looks completely unengaged.
He's such a talent. He's looked this way the whole season, Vic.
Most of it. There's
the
been
whole season.
Little sparks here and there, but nothing consistent. So if you're going to continue on with this guy, he has to buy in big time, or you have to move him, and you just got to eat whatever you get back, because it's not going to be the package you would want. But this is the time. Quick question for you. Rick Tocchet coaching this team next year?
See, this is tough, because I don't know if I put much of this on Rick Tocchet.
I wouldn't either, but does he want to be there?
You know what? Yes, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes if some of the pieces are moved and other things happen that have been part of the problem. That's what I think. Yeah, I would think that he would like to come back. I would. I hope so. The whole Elias Pettersson thing to me, I'll just say this quick and then we'll move on to the lock of the night. At the deadline, before the deadline, I think they traded the wrong guy. If you were going to pick
We both said that at the time.
Right. So if you were picking between one of the two, Pettersson to me was more the issue than JT Miller. Would you have gotten a good return back for Pettersson like you do with Miller? I don't know, but you're right. His stock, Pettersson's stock has been very
more
bad.
More than Philip Hedel, who can't play because his noggin's busted?
So
that wasn't a great return for the Canucks.
So then what you should have done is you should have traded both. You should have been able to get, I don't know. I think you and I talked about that as well going in. Do we trade one? Do we trade two? Do we trade both? Do we trade none? Those are all the options you have on the table. I get it. But if you see, and I've said this, he has been listless for whatever it is. And the worst thing for any player with that talent, and you're right, you're bang on, he has a ton of talent. But the worst thing for any player with talent like that who is not playing well and who doesn't look like he cares is to have the contract, the weight of the contract on him, because everyone's going to say you're not worth anything. But I'll say this, and you and I agree with this, can't fault any guy for signing, or woman, anyone for signing a contract like that when you're offered that contract. Everybody would.
Of course.
So don't use that if you're looking at him as why, oh, we can't, he should be performing. Okay, there's issues going on with him. I just think his time in Vancouver should be done. We'll see. It's going to be intriguing.
I think they move him. I'm curious to see what they would get back, but I think
you have
to.
I don't think you have another option at this point. I don't.
We'll find out.
Okay, lock of the night, Eastern Conference. We have, what, 5 games going on in the league?
We're in the West,
Ryan.
West,
right,
first.
West. Let's try it again. Lock in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
We have 5 in the league, and 3 of them involve all Eastern Conference teams, and then 2 of them involve the Western Conference teams. So there's 2 choices, Sharks, Oilers, and the Wild and the Flames.
I always go first. You go first this time.
Okay, I'm going to go with Calgary, and I'm going to say that Calgary does beat Minnesota tonight.
And that's why I wanted you to go first, because I'm also on the same game. I think both of us could pick the Oilers to win with McDavid back against the Sharks. Yep. But
and that's usually your blueprint. Pick the easy one, right?
So that's not true. I picked some upsets, Ryan Payton.
Not the first time we did this. Carry on.
Yeah, but I also got them all right.
You did.
It's that. Yeah. So I'm not gonna pick the Oilers. I'm the opposite from you. I think this is the end, not the official end of the Flames run, because I still think they'll be mathematically in it.
Okay.
The Wild, with Kaprizov and Eriksson Ek back in it.
Okay.
They are still shuffling for position themselves with the Blues. I don't think they want to play the Jets. I know Vegas is scary too, but I don't think they want to play the best team in the NHL. I wouldn't right now.
I think
the Wild
would.
Are still going to be very engaged in this. So we'll see how it goes. I'm rooting for the Flames. Like, take the professional hat off. I'm rooting for the Flames, but I think the Wild are going to win.
So the Flames could be snuffed out tonight. That's
they
what you're saying.
Definitely, and it took us 20 minutes to get there, but here
we
are
now. It was a
long time.
Long time.
Worth it, though.
I know. Okay. We'll go east after this. And don't forget Dave Panyota, editor-in-chief, fourthperiod.com, a good friend of ours and a great insider. He'll join us as well a bit later on in the show.
Pucks That's going to be fun.
Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We will go east after this.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
As I said off the top of this show, we're a week away from officially knowing exactly who's going to be playing who in the 16 teams that will represent the Stanley Cup playoffs, 8 in the East, 8 in the West, of course. Can't wait for game 1, night 1 of all those series coming up next Saturday. That, I believe, is the 19th of April. Welcome back, Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, Dave Panyota joining us in a little bit, maybe 15 minutes and change. Editor-in-chief, fourthperiod.com. Also, we know him very well. Good friend of both of ours and a terrific insider. So we're going to talk to Dave about all things NHL and go 77 seconds in with Dave also. We went west. Vic, let's go east. We'll talk Anthony Stolarz, Andrei Vasilevsky, Sergei Bobrovsky. Boy, that Atlantic division still not decided quite yet. We'll also talk about Patrick Waugh and the Islanders and my thoughts on Lou Lamoriello. Boy, that was a real close game last night.
Islanders-Rangers?
Oh, my goodness.
What a tire fire that was.
Come on. Let's begin with Montreal. And we'll get into some other news about the Habs in a second. But you've heard this from me a number of times, and I think you understand it, too. Behind me is Maurice the Rocket Richard. A huge Habs fan, a huge Original Six fan I am. And whenever we get Original Six teams in the league, albeit if they're Canadian teams too, to get to the postseason, that to me is awfully exciting. So my question to you is, they're on a roll, they're playing well, they're still young, this is kind of new territory for this team. Any chance the Habs blow this right now?
Probably not, but it's not out of the question.
Okay.
That is my leveled answer. Because if you look at their last 4 wins, this is who they beat. The Predators, by a goal.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Wings, floundering.
Right.
The Flyers, floundering. Mm-hmm. The Bruins, completely broken.
Yes.
Okay, those are their last four victories.
So you're saying the strength of the wins is not against the opponents?
Doesn't impress
is not...
me as much as it would otherwise. Okay. I've also seen them pull it out of the fire too many times recently. And okay. I think that luck eventually comes to an end. And I'm looking forward to their final four games of the season because they can still mathematically be caught. But essentially, if they win one more game,
yes.
and 3 points does it, all right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But they've got the Senators also flying high. Maple Leafs in Toronto. Maple Leafs mm-hmm. don't want to lose to the Habs at home.
No.
Okay, they have the Blackhawks. Maybe that's
By
it.
The way, that's going to be a nutty game.
Which one? Like, the Toronto?
Montreal-Toronto. Again, I know they're going to play for the millionth time, but with a lot at stake right now for both these two teams, more specifically for Montreal to lock down a spot.
Yeah, Toronto still wants to finish top of the Atlantic,
yeah, exactly.
Too, it's not
exactly.
a nothing game. And also Habs-Leafs, right? It's always
yep.
going to have a little element of extra romance. Okay, they yep. do have the Blackhawks. So as I was saying, that's probably the W that they're going to get if they're going to, but you never know. And then they finish off against the Hurricanes. And I know the Hurricanes are probably going to be in a position to rest and all the rest of it.
Yep.
But I also think the Hurricanes are a superior squad and they're going to want to go into their matchup with New Jersey in the postseason on a high note as well.
Mm-hmm.
So could the Habs go 0-4? I would not say it's an impossibility. It's improbable because of the numbers, Ryan.
Yeah.
But if you're actually just looking at the schedule outside of Chicago, those look like three losses to me.
So here's what Montreal needs to look at. Again, very good points about the schedule and especially about the teams they have upcoming right now. Based on the standings, Washington would take on Montreal. And we talked to Sammy Silber this week and she said, I'd be kind of scared if I was Washington against Montreal. Now, I don't know if I'd go that far, but I do agree what she's saying. The Habs will play them tough. Will they win? More than likely they won't. So mm-hmm. here's what then you need to do. If you're on the cusp of winning a playoff spot and you've got these games coming up against pretty strong teams, just try to come out of it with as much intensity and good play as you possibly can so you can take that into your first round. I don't see Montreal losing this spot. If you look at the game, both them and Columbus, okay, put the Rangers in. The Rangers, they're done. They're done because they have one less game to play than Columbus-Montreal. But if you put Montreal-Columbus right now, they both have four games to go. There's a six-point gap.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think Columbus is going to get there, and I don't think Montreal does not need very much. But I agree with you. The strength of their schedule that they played, the teams they played with have not been very strong. So now
stranger
we're
things
see...
have happened, Ryan.
Yeah, I know.
We've seen it across all sports. Every year you get these surprises. But so not to freak out Canadians fans, I think they're fine.
Yeah.
one quick circle back. If I had told you that only two of the original six teams would make it to the postseason, would you guess Toronto and Montreal? Not Boston, not the Rangers, because those are the other two.
Yeah, I would.
Right?
No. I would put Toronto.
I would Toronto and then the Rangers or Boston.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I agree. Right. I agree.
Only two of six. Wild.
What a disaster. Yeah, and they're not from Minnesota.
Mm-mm.
Do you want to go through this whole craziness that is Ivan Demidov? I think I have that last name correct.
Mm-hmm. It's Ivan Demidov.
Ivan. Mm-hmm. Ivan, Ivan. It is unbelievable. He arrives in Toronto on Thursday night. Fans are there with Canadians jerseys. This is like, it's like a rock star coming
police
in.
Police escort.
Oh my. And there was a flight tracker on the guy as well. When's he going to land? Where is he going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. He got a lot of talent, but this is a massive craze right now.
Where was he drafted again? Was it second? Overall, because we were there, we should remember this.
Yeah, we should remember
this,
right?
No, fifth overall. Sorry,
fifth overall.
Got a little excited there. But
yeah.
I remember when he was drafted and we took photos of him. And yeah. If this kid, if this kid's 19, if this kid turns out even 75% as good as everybody is anticipating he will, he's
yeah.
going to be an absolute star in Montreal. Have
yeah.
you seen him? He's a handsome young man.
Mm-hmm.
He seems quite charming. And also, he's a heck of a right winger. So
yeah.
just being able to bring him over as a bonus piece. I mean, honestly, full credit to Kent Hughes for just managing to pull this off.
I will never forget again. Yeah, we were at the draft and I was mm-hmm. up in the stands during the first part of that draft. And when the Habs did announce they picked him, I was sitting beside three guys who I think came in from Montreal. They were younger whatever, all in their Canadiens jerseys.
Yeah.
They went absolutely nuts. They were screaming. They were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then his family, I got to see all the families walk up. In order to go, you know, get pictures done
sure.
after their sons were drafted and they had the interviews. This one of the three He shook every single family member's hand and said, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you. You're going to love it. We love it. It was unreal. Unreal. Anyway, we'll see.
49 points. Yeah. In 65 games in the KHL,
pretty
playing
good.
With men. He yep. just turned 19 in December. Future is definitely bright. How does the postseason future look for the Florida Panthers now that Marchand has scored? Better?
Yeah. Well, I think it's more important the fact that they're not tanking now and everybody yeah. can put that to rest. That they're
right.
not trying to avoid a matchup with Tampa and they're trying to get to a matchup with Toronto. Yeah, that was a nice goal that Marchand scored. I'll be honest with you.
It was a nice goal, yes.
It was. I'll be honest with you. He doesn't really seem engaged with the team. It's a huge difference for Boston. Totally get it. He's going to ramp himself up.
Yes.
You know, everyone knows he's an absolute pain in the you-know-what to play against in the 82 games, but also in any time you face him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this Atlanta Division, Vic, it is 1-2-3, Toronto, Tampa, Florida, separated by 4 points. The Lightning and Toronto have a game in hand on the Panthers. But this is why they got Brad Marchand. They wanted to obviously get him to score, wreak havoc with Sam Bennett if he's healthy, and then do what he does best and be a pest in the postseason.
And they're going to have Kachuk back. And now they're going to have Aaron Eklund back in game three, who's now practicing with the team again.
Yeah.
Pardon me. And he feels just fine because he was suspended for using performance-enhancing drugs. So it's not like he's been banged up. You're going to have a very fresh top defender coming back. I'm still concerned. People have lessened in their fear of Florida of late. Just because they went on that little wobbly streak.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know, man. They're one of the fiercest forechecking teams in the league. They give you no space out there. They are rough. They are tough. And they've got great goaltending. So we shall see. I still think finishing the top of the division, whatever Montreal and Ottawa is doing right now, give me them as opposed to a date in Florida against either team. Thank you very much.
We do know one of the matchups is officially locked, and that is the Carolina Hurricanes. They will go up against the Devils. So the Canes hosting game one and game two of the series, if necessary, game five, and then, if necessary, game number seven. So the Canes officially locked this in. They earned a point against the Capitals on Thursday. So it's the seventh straight playoff berth for Carolina. I'm going to say this, and I'm maybe in the majority. I'm not sure, but I don't think the Devils have a hope in anything of getting by the Carolina Hurricanes.
Not without Jack Hughes.
Exactly.
Not without the best player.
Yeah, and I was going to say this too. If Jack Hughes was healthy, and if others were healthy, Dougie Hamilton, whoever it is, if they had a healthy team, I still would not pick the Devils to get by the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina, to me, is just too strong. They're too deep. They've been there before. I know the whole ranting thing was a mess. Yeah, whatever. That's all done.
Well in the rear view now.
This team is built. It is built for a postseason run, and they're going to take on the Devils.
I'll be surprised. That would be a very big upset to me if New Jersey could pull it off. If everybody was fully healthy, Dougie Hamilton and Jack Hughes, and they've got somebody else that they're missing right now too, escapes me. I would say I would still pick Canes, but it would be in 6 or 7.
Yep.
And right now I'm Canes in 5 or 6. I don't think Jersey gets swept.
Right.
They're going to steal one. Markstrom's going to steal one. Right. But other than that, I don't think this is going to be a very interesting series. Now watch, it'll be the banger of the first round. I don't think it's going to be a very interesting series, and I'm on the Canes as well. So another team we can now look at going into the postseason.
Yeah.
From the same division, the New York Islanders got absolutely steamrolled last night. The score was ridiculous. But what was more ridiculous to me...
9-2.
9-2.
Mm-hmm.
What was more ridiculous to me, if there could be something more ridiculous than losing 9-2, was the compartment of the head coach, Patrick Roy. I'm a fan of the man as a player. Mm-hmm. I even like him as a coach, and I like him as a personality in this league. Mm-hmm. When you're in that situation, and you throw out a young goalie like Tristan Lennox out there as a substitute when your team is getting ripped...
Mm-hmm.
And he lets in one goal on 2 shots, and then you yank him again, and that is his first appearance in the NHL. I don't care who you are. That is a goofball move.
Yep.
I think it's a bit cruel.
Yes. A bit. 100%.
100% unnecessary.
Yep.
So what if he was in there and he gets lit up? That's not going to be worse than getting yanked after you face 2 shots.
You know what's also about that move? It's damaging.
Of course it is.
Damaging.
He better have a talk with him. Yeah. And I don't know, there better be dinner and a bouquet of flowers and a big apology, because if I'm Tristan Lennox, 22-year-old goaltending prospect,
I know,
I would feel awful right now. And how this is, I don't get it. To me,
he said, it's on me. The kid didn't have a chance to practice. I thought it was unfair to him to be put him out there in a spot like this.
Sure.
That's why I put Marcus back in, didn't want to expose him and put him in a tough spot.
That's a justification for not putting him out in the first place, which would have been completely fine. But once you put him out there, you let him do it for a bit, and you let him prove, and you let him make some saves. So what if you let in four? So
I know,
what?
Vic, I'm totally with you. Totally. Preach to the converted.
Not playing for him anymore either. So.
No chance. Two things about this, about the Islanders, and they have to do with two names. And both, I believe, should not be back. And one, I really hope, decides, I'm done. Patrick Roy, I said this to you, I think, when John Tortorella was let go, even before this, I've said Patrick Roy does not belong as a coach in the NHL. I think he's better at other leagues. I just don't see him. I don't know what it is. I don't have any intel. I just don't see it. But Lou Lamoriello, who's 150, has to understand that he needs to move on. He needs to give the team, put them in others' hands. There's no way that this team is going to move in the direction that they need to until he is not working in the upper brass in management with that club. I firmly believe that. No knock on Lou for what he's done in his career, but it's time to go. It's time to go.
You know he's dying in that chair, right?
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Moving on to happier topics of teams who are making the postseason, unlike the Islanders, who thank goodness are not. At least that's a little bit some cold water that they can pour on themselves.
Right.
We've got the Leafs. We've got the Lightning. We've got the Florida Panthers in that fierce Atlantic division.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got good goaltenders on each of those teams. Who do you have the most confidence in this postseason, or who do you fear the most if you're a member of the opposition? Anthony Stolarz for the Leafs, Vasilevsky for the Lightning, or Sergei Bobrovsky for the Florida Panthers?
This one's easy. No hesitation. Anthony Stolarz.
Really? I'm Vasilevsky all the way.
In Toronto.
Okay.
I was thinking about Vasi. Yes, the experience. And
Cups?
Yep, the Cups. We had Chris Kerber on, who's the play-by-play voice of the Blues, on our show a week or so ago. And he said there's two goalies in the league that if there was a Game 7, winner takes all, who he'd have in goal. He said Jordan Binnington, because we talked about the Blue, Jordan Binnington. Right. And then he said in the East, it'd be Andrei Vasilevsky. Not taking anything away from him. Sergei Bobrovsky, yes, you won a cup, good goaltender, whatever. I just think the game and what Anthony Stolarz can bring, I think that he is the more feared goaltender out of those three. And I'll be honest, he's been tested a lot more, I think, because let's face it, Toronto's not scoring as much as they did last year. There's been many games that Stolarz has saved the game, if you will, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Stolarz he's getting time now to play. He's a very good goaltender, and he's healthy, knock on wood. So I will go with Stolarz. You say Vasi.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the guy who's done it more than once.
Okay. Moving on. So let's do Jack Adams. So what we're doing here, I think both of us will agree that the Jack Adams Award, which is for the Coach of the Year, is Spencer Carberry's to lose. And the biggest thing about that to me, and just want to say this, because we're going to talk about our second pick. The biggest reason for me would be you go from a minus 37 to what they are right now. That's an incredible turnaround. Good on you. I know they made the postseason last year, and sometimes you vote for a Coach of the Year when a team doesn't make it in, then they make it in the playoffs, but it's Carberry's to lose. Who would be your second in that list for Coach of the Year?
I was volleying a couple of names. Scott Arneil is one.
Of course.
That's not who I'm going to go with. And there are others, but my dark horse, because I think that's a more interesting conversation, is Travis Green.
Well said.
And what he has accomplished with the Ottawa Senators. Because if you look at how far they have come from, never even mind the record not making the playoffs, but just the mess. With the new ownership, with having players suspended for gambling, with just everything that's happened with losing the draft pick, right?
Yeah.
Just all the mess. And for him to have that team, and I know that they upgraded in net, and that deserves a lot of credit as well. But in general, less so lately, but most of the season, that team has played much better defense.
No, I agree.
Everybody seems bought in.
It's
Everybody
a great choice.
Seems to be contributing. So I'm Travis Green. Who do you have?
It's a great choice. And I have two. So a 1A, 1B, and I'll try to decide quickly in the fly. One in the East, one in the West. Mm-hmm. Not the sexiest picks. Kind of the same thing with Ottawa, Martin St. Louis. If the Canadians make it in, just what he means to that team. I know coaches mean a lot to different clubs. He means a lot to the youngsters, especially on that team. And they missed the postseason last year by a number of points. They're on the cusp right now. So I would say Martin St. Louis probably won't get a couple of votes, but he won't be in the top three. And then I'll go with Jim Hiller in LA. I know I've already talked about that.
I know you like him, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think what he's done, and the Kings are playing really well right now. Byfield is just doing what he's doing. And,
yeah.
And they're not like the sexiest team in the league. It's not like they have tons of superstar players. Maybe they don't even have one superstar.
I can hear Dennis Bernstein sighing from here.
I know.
That. He hears that all the time.
Like, what about Kopitar? Well, you know, he's not a superstar. He's a great player, but I'm just saying.
I think Anthony Kopitar is a superstar. I'm not with you on that at all. But with
what he's done for the club, I think he certainly should get some votes. But again, it's Spencer Carberry's to lose. Okay, Dave's coming up quickly, so let's go. Lock of the night in the East. Habs Sens, Wings Lightning, Penguins Devils.
Senators beat the Montreal Canadiens.
Ooh. Okay.
I think the Canadiens are going to come up against, first of all, it's in Ottawa. And yep. I think that favors Ottawa as well. And yep. Just between those two, again, there's some jostling going on there too. Not yep. necessarily for position, but just they're both in this situation. And I think this is Ottawa's to lose.
I'm going to go with probably the minority pick in this one. Detroit will beat the Lightning in Tampa. I'm going to go with Detroit.
Any justification for that or just a gut feeling?
Just a gut. Yeah, mm-hmm. just a gut. I know Tampa and Toronto played that good game the other night. Toronto won in overtime. Yeah, I'm just going to go with the gut. Why not? Detroit beating Tampa, and you have Ottawa beating Montreal. Dave Pagnotta coming up next, fourthperiod.com. We'll dive into more things around the NHL and also go 77 seconds in with Dave. And as Vic said, maybe he'll turn the laptop off five seconds into that section. Who knows? We'll figure it out. Dave's next. Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payton, Victoria Magnus.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Madiash.
Okay, welcome back. So the three of us have been in this business a long time, and we've all at some point tried to get guests on certain shows. And sometimes, you know, guests respond right away very quickly. Yes, I'll come on. Yes, I'll come on. Other times you go through 15 or 20 of them and they just can't do it. So then you go down to you scrape the barrel of the bottle and you find some. Okay, fine. Let's reach out. And now we're stuck with Dave Pagnotta.
None of this is true. We're very, very grateful to have Dave on with us today. This feels a little bit overdue, actually.
Dave wants to chime in. Let's go. Come on,
well,
Gabby.
I was wondering where that was going, what direction you were going in, and then
yeah,
I should have suspected. It was.
You should have.
Yeah. That's okay. Hey. Well, I was like the 74th, 75th option. Was that?
You were. Yeah,
today?
You were.
For today?
You were.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, we're very, yeah. very, very happy to have you. Very
yeah. And
happy.
For those that and for those that don't, Dave is awesome. Fourthperiod.com editor in chief. Mm-hmm. He does great work on SiriusXM. Certainly with me doing it for 6 years with Dennis Bernstein, the Hot Stove on the Weekend. We both know Dave as well personally, and he's about as good as it gets, if not the best, at inside information. So let's begin. We're going to go 77 seconds in with you, Dave, later on, too. Lots to talk about in the NHL, getting very close to the postseason. We'll put that aside for a second. Let's talk Toronto specifically. Mm-hmm. Two things. Matthew Nyes's next deal. We'll get to that in a second. But let me ask you this. How healthy is Austin Matthews?
Healthy enough to play.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Healthy enough. No, he's better. Yeah. He's better than I expected him to be for the duration of the season.
Okay.
It seems whatever treatment that he's been having for whatever his ailment is, it seems to have worked this season. I think he's going to have to take a look at a few other things in the off season, but he seems to be okay. He seems to be doing all right. And I think with the way that Willie Nylander and Mitch Marner and John Tavares and Nyes
right.
played, like he hasn't had to be the elite of the elite on this group because the other guys have stepped up so significantly this season.
Scale of 1 to 10 level of concern for Leafs fans for the postseason if they're looking forward to a a long run, level of concern for him being able to endure throughout several weeks of postseason play?
I think he'll be okay. Yeah, every indication. I mean, barring obviously some, you know, freak accident
sure.
or something that happens in a game or whatnot, he falls into, you know, the boards awkwardly or, you know, gets clotheslined by the post or something like that or the crossbar or what, like stuff that would affect anybody. Barring something like that, I don't think there's much worry.
Okay. What does Matthew Nye's next contract look like?
Three to five.
It's in Toronto? I'm guessing it's going to be in Toronto. Okay.
Yeah. Everyone's going nuts with offer sheets. And because we saw what happened last season and everyone's going, oh, this summer, everyone's going to be offer sheeting everybody. Everyone's got an extra $7.5 million to play with.
Right.
Everyone has cap cushion.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Nobody is getting offer sheeted right away. July 1, July 2, July 3, unless they just hate their team and want to leave. Offer sheets, if they happen, are going to happen later in the summer.
Yeah.
And Toronto's got a lot of space. They're not going to let Matthew Nyes walk. They're not going to get...
Nor should they.
And I believe his focus and his camp's focus is staying with the Leafs.
Yeah.
So you're probably looking at 3 to 5 years, is my guess. I don't, unless they overpay for the full, you know, mm-hmm. 8-year term. That's the sense that I've gotten to this point. Dollar wise, it'll vary based on 3, 4, 5 years.
Of course.
$7 million.
Okay.
In that vicinity. Again, depending on term, but I would be beyond shocked if it gets to the point where Nyes accepts an offer sheet. It's later on in the summer, and the Leafs just completely screwed the pooch. But I don't see that happening in either scenario. And a reminder for everybody: the player has to agree to the offer sheet. It's not just a team just barreling in and side swiping here and catching the other team off guard. The player has to accept it. So come July 1, you know, teams can call agents about UFAs. They could also call agents about RFAs, like mm-hmm. Matthew Nyes. But it's going to be up to them to accept an offer or not.
He seems to like it here.
Yeah, he seems to. Yeah, he's one of those players as well. I guess you got the stars in the league, but he's like a five-tool guy in baseball. He's big. He can check. He's just so tough.
I think he's going to be a star. A couple years from now, I think we're going to talk about him in even different terms than we do right now.
Yeah,
agreed.
Whatever deal Matthew's going to get, it's going to be a nice one. That's for sure.
No.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
5:25 in. I know. I know. So the Vancouver Canucks, Dave, been a bit of a dismal. Well, that's an understatement. Been a dismal season. A lot of issues off the ice, on the ice. So they win the Pacific a year ago, and now they're not going to the playoffs. They know the Pettersson stuff, the JT Hall. Don't have to rehash all that. Now Brock Besser is saying, "Yeah, no, I'm pretty much done too."
No, I'm done. Not pretty much anything. Done.
What's in store for him, and what's in store for this Canucks team? We talked about it a bit, but what's your sense?
Well, they really dicked him around in these conversations going back to the summer. So he wanted to stay. He loves Vancouver. With all the BS that they had to deal with this guy, they don't know what kind of player he is. They still want to see. You get Marcus Pettersson from Pittsburgh and you sign him the next day.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
Yeah.
Brock's going to get a ton of interest from a ton of teams. You know, obviously there's the Minnesota connection, but you'll see, there'll be 20 suitors for him. Like, he's going to have the pick of the litter. Right shot, goal scoring guy, like top six guy. And this summer, there aren't that many UFAs. You've got Mitch Marner, and then there's a significant, you know, dip, with all due respect to Brock, and I love the guy, and full transparency, you know him well.
Right.
But he's one of the next guys in line, so he's going to cash in. Next for Vancouver will be figuring out the Rick Tocchet situation. They're either going to exercise the option or they're going to agree to an extension. And Tock wanted to wait until the season was done, but they've been eliminated, so maybe that escalates things or speeds things up, excuse me. And then they got to go from there. But everything that Vancouver is going to be doing between now and the start of next season is going to make sure that they can help convince their captain to stay long term.
Yeah,
he's got
yeah.
two more years after this one.
That's a priority.
Yeah.
Okay.
It better be. I mean, if it's not yeah. a priority to keep Quinn Hughes, you might as well just fold the club up. And,
no, I agree.
You know, rebuild or whatever. But
yeah,
it makes
perfect sense.
Yeah, they screwed up a lot in Vancouver recently.
Yeah.
It sure smells that way. One last Brock Besser thing. Do you think, and you do know him, do you think a change of scenery is just what the doctor ordered here a little bit? Because his production numbers are down. He doesn't look quite the same player. I don't blame him either. But do you think maybe, you know, turning the page is going to be a good thing?
I do. Because it's another scenario where all the BS just, you just leave it. Like, again, he loves Vancouver. But,
yeah,
you know, there's only so much these guys can take.
Yeah.
I think a change of scenery will do wonders. Now, whether it's Minnesota or Los Angeles or the Islanders or wherever, he's going to get a ton of interest. So he'll be able to kind of pick where he wants to be. And it'll also obviously affect his, like, the dollars are going to affect where he ends up. And that's going to be a factor too. But he's, like I said, he'll have his plenty of options. And I do agree. I think a new start will get him back to that, you know, consistent 30 to 40 goal performance over the course of the full season rather than kind of, you know, ups and downs and ebbs and flows.
Bunch of knuckleheads in Vancouver, that's for sure.
Yeah, they sure Canuck themselves.
Look at you doing it now. Why are you encouraging him?
No.
It's contagious.
It is. Okay. See, we're just getting warmed up for tomorrow. That's all
anyway.
This is.
Believe me, Vic, it hurts.
Double the
it hurts,
fun.
It hurts right here. It hurts right here.
Come on, no, it doesn't. You love it. We talked in the first couple segments of the show, too, about the New York Islanders. They laid an absolute egg last night, losing 9-2.
That was spectacular.
Holy crap, we
have our opinions on them, and you do as well, and Patrick Waugh and Lou Lamoriello. We asked what's in store for Vancouver. What's in store for this team? You see Patrick Waugh. I don't think that he's best suited to be a coach in the NHL. That's been my opinion from the get-go. I could be in the minority. I don't know. But what do you see the future is with him in New York?
I think there's going to be a discussion when the season ends about what direction the team's going in and who are going to be the individuals that will continue to run this team and lead this team.
Change in management, maybe.
Okay.
I
think it's if something doesn't happen this summer, I think it'll happen next summer.
Okay.
I think the leash has significantly shortened. Now, I know there were some reports that, you know, I guess Lou's sticking around. Let's wait and see. I think it was Arthur Staples. So let's wait and see. But I do know there will be a full-fledged meeting of the minds once their season wraps up, probably after exit interviews and all that stuff, let the dust settle a little bit. You know, they could be officially eliminated tonight, depending on what they have to do. So...
Mm-hmm.
That you go through next week, maybe give it another week. But from my understanding, there's going to be that meeting of the minds to determine the future of the coach, the GM, the staff, and what direction they're going to go in. Because, you know, Lou made a fantastic move when he dealt Brock Nelson to Colorado. He opted not to trade Kyle Palmieri because
I didn't get that at all. I did not get that.
I would have. If I move out Nelson, I move out Palmieri, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I believe there's an extension in place. At least in Lou's manner, I think it's agreed upon. It hasn't been filed. But, you know, at least it's there. I think there's a couple other guys that have extensions in place as well. In Lou fashion, you know, he may not, you know, he'll file them in September.
Right.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But the Islanders are going to be an interesting team to watch this summer.
Yeah.
They have to do something because just as currently configured, they've tried this over and over and over again, and it's not working, man. It just isn't. One of the better goaltenders in the league. Anywho, teams that are in the postseason now, let's look forward a little bit more positive. That was a bit of a negative conversation. Some interesting wild cards right now in play. Probably some unanticipated ones. Certainly for me, I didn't have Montreal or Ottawa in that position in the East. Of those currently in a spot or even fighting for one, so if you want to include the Flames, that's fine. Who do you think has the best shot this playoff run of actually making something, not necessarily going to the very end, but winning a series, maybe two.
I noticed you wobble your head a bit on the Flames thing there, Dave.
Yeah, I think the Flames. I think the West is set.
Okay.
I think the East is set too.
All right. So Senators, Montreal, Wild, Blues.
Sens. Based on matchups.
Interesting.
Based on matchups. If,
okay.
Because right now, they're playing the Leafs, right? I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way the Habs are playing, the way St. Louis has played, minus the last couple of games where they kind of,
yes.
Minnesota's got reinforcements, but now that their boys are back. But based on matchups, out of the four divisional leaders, I would rather play Toronto than I would Vegas or Winnipeg,
right,
or Washington.
Right. Right.
So based on that, I give Ottawa the best shot. I think all four are going to be knocked out in the first round.
Okay.
But in terms of best chances, I give it to the Sens. How they're playing, the way that they're playing, the way Ullmark has performed this season, I think that's going to be. Plus, selfishly, I want the Battle of Ontario because
right?
I think
don't
that
we?
Would be bananas. Yeah,
I do too. Yeah,
this province will just lose it again, and it's been a while.
It's
I want the Battle
time.
Of Ontario, but I don't want the Ottawa Senators to win the Battle of Ontario because
yeah.
of my personal affiliation and fandom.
Right, right. But it would be nice.
I could care less who wins personally. Just give me fun. Just give me fun and excitement and give me seven-game bloodbath, which I think we're going to see. We would see in that series. We would definitely see it in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
Colorado, Dallas.
Dallas, yes. Yep.
Shot for shot. Edmonton, LA for the 50th year in a row. Like this first round is going to be pretty damn exciting.
And
is anybody watching the Jersey Carolina series? Is anybody going to tune into that one at all?
Are they even playing?
I mean, some people in Raleigh will, some people in,
yes.
in New York will. Outside of that, I don't know.
Yeah.
That one is probably, but also, I mean, I'm expecting Carolina to just walk all over.
That's what we talked about it in our first segment, and we both said the same thing.
Yeah.
Carolina in five, maybe six.
To be nice, to be nice, five.
Yeah.
Hughes, Hamilton in there, totally different discussion. But they don't have them. So, yeah, Carolina should walk all over these guys.
We were going to ask you, actually, let me just do that and then Ryan can move on. What's the series you're looking forward to the most? I know you just went through it. Is it the Florida series? Is it Leafs Sens, or if that's how it works out, or is it the Dallas Colorado? Because that's my favorite.
It's clearly Devils Canes, based on what's the favorites.
Yeah. Respectfully, that'll be the last on the totem pole for me. More exciting. I mean, they all have cool storylines, so I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I'll be covering the Leaf series, so
great.
I'll be a little more invested in that one from a professional side of things. I think bloodbath-wise, it'll be Tampa and Florida. Like they don't like each other.
No.
So I'm looking, and now you add the Brad Marchand, element into it. Probably that one, although. The Colorado Dallas, the storyline of Rantanen and if Gabe gets in there, Landeskog,
yes,
like that will be cool. I'm gonna buy a few more TVs when I'm not at the game and just throw them all up so I can just watch simultaneously.
TVs, iPads, phones,
everything.
Whatever you need.
Yep.
So 16 teams, last one before we get to 77 seconds with you. 16 teams will be in, and 16 teams, of course, will not be in. Who's your biggest disappointment, one from the East and one from the West, based on the teams that have kind of
lots
went
to choose
downhill
from here?
I know there's lots.
Oh, well, Rangers.
Yeah.
No, in the East, Rangers. What the hell? And it's just the way that they crashed. Like, there was a stretch in March where I think every game, everybody, fans, reporters, pundits, other teams were going, did they even give a crap?
Yeah.
What the hell? Who played? Shesterkin played and nobody else did. And then that guy played and no one else did. So just the manner in which they imploded, shocking. And I mean, a lot of people picked them to be like one of the top contenders, but myself included. And they just pooped all over themselves. So Rangers in the East for me. The West is probably Vancouver.
Yeah.
Not the Predators.
I figured the Preds would be a wild card, would be like in wild card contention.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect them to be this crappy, but yeah. I didn't think they would be a top three team in the Central. Or, you know, I think they, I had them battling for a wild card spot because I didn't like the depth, but I like the additions. I just thought the depth would be in question. I did not anticipate it being that big of a question. But Vancouver, because Vancouver was like, okay, well, maybe they'll creep into the top three based on last season. They made a couple mm-hmm. additions. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they can make some noise. Didn't happen. So for me, yeah, 94 Stanley Cup final, Vancouver, New York Rangers. You both screwed up this year.
Yeah, they did. All right, 77 seconds now with Dave. This is where we ask him 7 questions. He has 77 seconds to answer, but don't worry about it. There's no timer. Take as many seconds. And look at the panic on his face. What?
I can just wait. I can just.
Oh, no. No. That's actually good. I like that.
Spirit is quick fire. Let's just put it that way.
Yes. All right. Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
These are hockey related and some non-hockey related. So wait till the non-hockey
just
related.
Just stop and go and ask the question.
Look, no, hold on. I've got an idea now.
Okay.
Am I allowed to curse?
Yes, no. you can speak however you like.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Does a current NHL player beat Ovi's record?
No.
Your favorites to come out of the East and West for the Stanley Cup final?
Crap. Dallas, Florida.
NHL arena, you've been to about 9 million of them. Oh, yeah. Not just that, but also around the world. NHL arena with the best eats, media.
Media eats. Nashville's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Vegas is good.
So Nashville did something right then. They still do something right. Yeah,
they still feed people well.
When the barbecue enters the mix, it's good.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
Where did the Blue Jays finish in the AL East this year?
I knew it.
Well, look at the shirt she's got on.
That's why.
Just for you.
Yes, I know. I caught on. That's why I asked about cursing.
I feel the same pain as you, bud. Same pain.
Yeah.
8-6 right now.
Dave's always said, wait till July. We'll talk in July.
I do. Because I normally don't watch because now it's playoffs and hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll say they're going to be in wildcard contention, but I'm also hopeful. So I think my bias might kick in on that one.
All right.
What's wrong with the Cowboys?
I would have put money on that answer.
Yeah.
We're making Dave very depressed.
I was good up until I'm starting. The heart's palpitating now. Blue Jays and Cowboy questions. I didn't expect the Cowboy one. Everything. Jerry Jones leading that list.
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually, yeah. I think you have a lot of people are in agreement with you on that one.
Yeah.
What is your, and this is insight from Ryan, what is your trick to falling asleep on command anywhere, anytime?
Alcohol.
Yeah. Hold on. I've seen you fall asleep, no alcohol in your body. I've seen you fall asleep with TVs going, with dogs barking. I look over and he is out.
See, there's two settings where that usually happens. If you put me on a couch,
yes,
and we're watching any kind of whatever's on TV, could be sports, not sports, old movie. If I am horizontal, 90
it's over.
Seconds, 90 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's great. I wish I could do that.
If I'm in the car, in one of the passenger seats. Mm-hmm. About 180 seconds. Yeah. If there's minimal conversation if we're in traffic, especially.
That's a gift. I hope you appreciate it.
I get it when I can, because
right, I get that too. Yeah, you're busy.
Some instances can't very much. Yeah, self-inflicted. Right. I'll admit that. But
yeah, yeah. Do you find puns contagious? I think you've already answered that.
Sadly, yes. Sadly, I do. I do.
I got one more. I just added this on your IMDb. You're listed at 5'11".
No, that's not right.
You're listed at 5'11".
Well, whoever created that account, thank you. I didn't even know I had one.
You did, yeah. It's got your birthday and everything on there. April 24th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shocking.
What movie was
I in? We've just established.
It's blank. The credits are blank.
Okay, yeah.
There's
well, that
nothing.
Would make sense, yeah. See, I probably... this is spending too much time in Los Angeles and going out at night. I probably like walked past the set not knowing, and they're just like, Dave's back.
And you got a credit.
Yeah. I just got on there. No, I'm 5'10".
You're not short. I stood next to you, and in heels, you and I are the same, and I'm not short either. So it's a fine height.
Can we just clarify? Can we clarify that? You were in heels, not me.
That's right. Yes.
Okay.
When both of us are wearing heels, we're about the same height. Yeah. Anyway, that's a there he is sleeping.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous. For those of us watching, there's a screenshot of a very relaxed looking Dave Mignotta on there.
That was one time in LA. He's done that in Boston. He's done that.
Again, I think it's a gift, man.
Well.
If I could fall asleep when I wanted to, I think it would be spectacular.
Yeah. No, I'm an equal opportunist. I will sleep anywhere.
All right.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Awesome. See you guys. Thank you.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.